It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1023 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles. Joined today in studio, the man of the hour, the man of the day. He's sitting to my right. That's Ben Funky Askren, fresh from Las Vegas, Nevada. Took an evening flight in. To his right, James Dean Rader. He flew in. I don't know when you got home, but you were in San Francisco.
Last night.
Tyler is on a no-fly list, so he hasn't been anywhere for some time. And I'm here, as I always
Why am I on the no-fly list?
Well, do you really want that out there?
Yeah, tell everyone.
Because you're... No. I didn't think that level deep.
Oh, you want to improv, but you can't do it.
Yeah.
Busted him, Tyler.
Yeah, suspect. Well, I just don't want to tell the truth because I think people can change, you know, and I think you can get...
He once got confused as Slim Shady and fought everyone in the Detroit airport. That's why.
Oh, my gosh. Is that why you look like that? All your time in the Detroit area, you dye your hair blonde.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's always playing... One thing you guys don't know, he has a SoundCloud with all his rap songs. Look up Lil Pip.
You ask me for a ride, you will be listening to my music the whole time.
Literally his music. Okay, so this is as we've been talking about, this is Ben's, I say, final show.
I'll come back once. I'm not going to do a brad key and never show up again.
Can you imagine?
No, my man showed up twice in like 4 years.
So partially,
what?
Partially, it's he.
Kyle, come on.
You know what you can say about Bracky is that he has come on every time he's been asked, and I guess we haven't asked him that much. But at the same time, you know, you'd like for him to reach out and try to get on. But so I'm heartbroken about that, but I'm glad you will be back on. But the last time in the full sense capacity.
Yeah. I kind of love how everyone, not everyone, there's a lot of people who think there's got to be more to it. They want some dirt or drama.
Well, and I was going to say, a lot of people think that there's like drama between you two or between someone.
It's so weird.
I want you to finally clear the air. Tell everyone how much
I told them like three times. They don't believe me. So
tell everyone how much you really hate Christian.
Yeah. Oh, that. Yeah, you're right. I do. No, I mean, I think this has been planned for like a year plus somewhere. Yeah. I mean, I said episode 1,000 and then ended up during the season, and I didn't want to be done in February because that was weird. And this kind of worked out with NCAAs and the trials. And then I actually was going to come last week, and I just couldn't work it out travel-wise, so this one made sense. I was actually, you know what, I'm a little sad because I thought you were going to do something special for my last show. You know, like maybe tacos in studio. I can smash some tacos.
We'll see.
Maybe you have Dylan Plasso here and I get to beat his ass for my last show. Like, something really fun that I would enjoy thoroughly.
I wish we would. And I thought about the tacos thing. We're going to get tacos after the show. Because Spey, during the watch party, was housing pizza. And then he got made fun of relentlessly.
Why?
Well, they started calling him Pawpaw. And then he was eating on air. And so I didn't want to do that to you.
I don't care. You can make fun of me for eating tacos on air.
Yeah, but I don't want to hear you eat tacos.
The hotel that I'm at, though, the one, it's that I ate tacos there with Keegan O'Toole and Rocky Elam when they wrestled in the All-Star.
Oh, really?
Very good tacos.
That Veracruz, I think.
Veracruz, yeah. Yep. It was delicious.
We'll go to one taco.
We thought about doing some stuff, but a lot of the stuff, like, to celebrate a lot of your time here, we did a lot of it on episode 1,000.
Oh, nice.
We did, like, tasing and the...
Tasing? Yeah. We're going to celebrate you leaving my tasing.
Yes.
We should have re-tased him. Just one more
time. So funny.
But, yeah, this was, you know, it is sad, but there's not more to it. There's some guy that really keeps asking. He's like, when are you going to tell us?
There's more than one person. It's different people, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, and my wife asks me sometimes. She's like, you really like it. Why are you done? And I'm like, well, everything's got to come to an end at some point. And I just want a little more time coaching. And, you know, I made that video I haven't been able to figure it out how to do it yet, but I'm going to at some point probably. Where Freddie Roach just shows up as Jimmy, just coaches boxing kind of all day. And then he goes home. And I'm like, oh, I think I would kind of like cut out almost everything else in my life and just show up and coach wrestling. And so that's my goal. I'm going to do it at some point. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm headed in that direction.
How do you plan to fill your days? I mean, it's not like this was a full-time job. It's twice a week for a couple hours.
Yep.
But do you plan on, like, having academy hours earlier, or how do you
plan? Well, I mean, in the beginning, I'll just be, like, you know, business stuff around the academy. But then, yeah, I mean, eventually Max and I would like to have an RTC-type thing where we're coaching senior-level athletes. We've talked about that before. So I think that's probably the most likely scenario, is that we get some type of senior-level group and then, you know, coach them in the morning and – that type of thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got
it. That'd be ideal. Okay. We need someone to fund it. Hey, does Flow Wrestling want to start an RTC, actually?
Well, yo. Can we?
Well, I don't know.
How about that?
Christian, can we please make those funds real quick?
Tyler was talking about all this money he made on YouTube back in the day. Maybe we can dip into that fund.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to say how much.
All right. That
all very tiny amount.
Well, that would be cool. I would love to see you get to train senior level athletes, because I feel like the trajectory that your athletes are on, if it continues and they just continue to train, it feels like they're going to be.
It's going to be a lot of them.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of them, but it feels like they could get it done there as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Our man Josh Skernick's walking in here to.
Oh.
Yeah, he's looking. The TV's on.
It's just, on. I don't think that button works.
It just doesn't have the display. Here, poke your little head around there. See? It's just showing that. There we go. That's a little inside baseball. We need a camera that shoots this way so you can see.
See what we're looking at.
See what we're looking at. We're not crazy people.
Yeah, so the RTC thing, I don't know how long that's going to take us. You know, who knows? Maybe Bitcoin goes to 400,000 and it starts sooner than later.
Is that going to happen?
Is what? Which one? Bitcoin going?
Bitcoin go to 400,000. That's going to happen?
It's an inevitability.
What does that have to get to for you to cash out and start an RTC?
I won't ever.
So if you can't cash out, how are you going to start the RTC?
Well, I'll cash out small portions, but you know what Michael Saylor pitches that the real wealthy people do is they take the value of their asset.
And you so take a loan against it.
You take a loan against it, and then you never have to pay taxes. Unfortunately, right now, I did want to buy a building in 2022. The problem is the interest rates are so high on it. So while it's probably going to work out, it's probably not going to work out as easily. Whereas like on the buildings, they take like 1-2% loans. And
you
then,
think about this. You want to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's funny.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I want to ask you some questions and stuff. But before that, do we want to talk about the competition, the appropriate amount of competition?
Let's go. I did a Mental Monday about this because this one really, really.
Want me to tee it up a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, tee it up. It annoyed the crap out of me.
Okay, so Kyven Gadsden goes to Twitter. He said, I'm still trying to figure out how we as a sport expect these kids to stay healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, long term when they're competing Olympic trials and going and competing the next week against best kids in their age group. Am I missing something?
Yeah, he's missing a lot. So, to my knowledge, does he coach like a kids club or high level kids club? He doesn't. He doesn't.
I don't know.
This level of athletes. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. I feel like I was gonna make a joke that we just started AWA so we could just tell you that we're right in our ideas and philosophies, right? Because now after this many years, our ideas and our philosophies that we're doing are really, really panning out. And so, in my video I made yesterday, it's on the Asking Wrestling Academy Facebook page. You can watch it, but. The main thing is, I said, well, here we're talking about men here. We are not talking about little kids, of which I have an opinion on, and we could talk about that, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, Olympic trials, they literally have to be either 18 or turning 18 this calendar year. That's the youngest they can be, right? So we're talking about 18, 19, or 20-year-olds who are going to wrestle last week and this week. These are men, and if they have to do something hard, they have to do something hard, and I don't really see the issue with it. And you know, for a lot of our guys that are on that level, I mean, well, Connor Mirosol is the only who actually was able to qualify, but Cole tried and Aiden tried and Charlie tried. Number one, they probably didn't have a lot of tough matches during the high school season, right? So that was kind of easy. Number two, they're probably not going to wrestle like, say, a freestyle state this weekend. They're not wrestling, right? So it's like they know what to wrestle in and what not to wrestle in. And it's like, I think you said this, but it's like, it's the effing Olympic trials. It's literally the biggest thing in our sport. Are you going to skip it because you got a tournament next week? No. You're not. Like, and then, you know, to get further on, it's like, well, Marcus Blaze, he took this week off.
Yeah.
He can still make the junior world team if he wins at the trials in 4 weeks. So I think this it was just such a big miss.
Yeah. The thing that annoyed me is, so the statement and then the subsequent, like, comments and Coach Green, they make it sound like it's a broader systemic issue when we're literally talking about less than 10 kids. And of that pool,
probably like five.
And of that pool, three of them just straight up made the team. Like Luke Lilledahl wrestled at trials, made the team.
Yep.
Connor made the team, and one other made.
Well, they didn't make the team. They made the.
They won. Yes. And then one other one.
Lockett.
Yeah, Lockett. Yeah. D. Lockett. Yeah. So three of them were able to overcome that, mm-hmm. and so I think one, we're talking about a really small number of people. Two, we're. If you're lucky, if you have a blessed career, you'll probably get three Olympic trials in your career.
That is the top point, 0.000. One, yeah. We're talking about 90 competitors at the trials?
Yeah.
It's or less? It's crazy.
Yes. So it's extremely rare to get this many opportunities. Are you going to turn it down because U20 is next week? And also, like, USA kind of gets lumped into there as a scheduling issue. Do you think USA Wrestling thought when they schedule? First of all, The U.S. Open dates are set years in advance to get these venues. They have thousands and thousands of wrestlers and people and coaches coming to this one place one time. They're not going to move it because Olympic trials are a week before because we happen to go back and look at the 21 trials. How many high schoolers were in that? Go back and look at 16. One, two. They should move the entire U.S. Open, and they should have a wave a magic wand and know that there's going to be actually like eight or nine high schoolers in there. Yeah. It's just silly. And even if they did know, it wouldn't be rational enough to move it because back-to-back weeks is not detrimental. There is an issue in developmental wrestling, youth wrestling, where kids are competing too
much. Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like that's a fully different topic because we're not talking about, these are grown men, and it's a couple weekends, and, you know, say at Jack's Force, he does compete what I would say is a lot, but, like, the other ones, like Ladarian Lockett or Connor Mirasola, they don't overcompete by any sense of the imagination at all. And so we want to go back to like, what is the issue? I mean, this is the issue that Max and I and Coach Bassenbrink have been talking about for years. It's too much competition too early and too much weight cutting. And that doesn't fall on the sport though. That falls on parents and coaches, and that's it. That falls on them. So if your kid is getting bad guidance, if they're getting forced into things they don't want to do, you should find them a new coach. I don't want to say find them a new parent. I don't think that's right. Parent. Don't do that. But, you know, that's where it comes from. So it's like, as a sport, I don't know how a sport would even change that. It's like, it doesn't make sense. It just, the sport should be giving us the opportunity, and then it's on you to choose the opportunities that are suited for you.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree. I think, I thought it was really cool that all those guys did get to compete, and they competed really well. And, I think there is a lack of really quality opportunities for a lot of the elite of the elite. They have to wrestle in adult tournaments, senior level tournaments. Yeah. They have to wrestle in when they get the opportunities, they.
I mean, that's really one of the reasons we started the PNL also, is because even sometimes at not even at that the one level we're talking about, the Fort Jack's Forest and Bassett and Mirasola, not even that level, but even the next one down. You know, for them, sometimes it's like, okay, you show up at, at Dominate the Dells. And it's like, well, there used to be really good competition there, but not every year. Sometimes you show up and there'd be no one there. And be like, so, okay, you're our nationally ranked guy, and we want you to get some good matches, and you get none, you know? And in order to get better at something, you have to compete against equally skilled competition. And so it's like, well, the PNL is like, okay, well, now we're knowing Pinnacle's going to bring people, or DC, or someone like that. And so now we know there's going to be good matches because we need our guys to get really good, equally skilled matches in order to get better. So it is really important. And you're right, it is actually probably harder once they get into that, maybe we'll say 10, 11, 12 range, when they start getting to the elite level, maybe in a Pennsylvania or in a couple other states, but in a lot of the states, it's hard for them to get really, really high quality matches.
Yeah. Could you have talked Connor Mirasola out of competing this weekend if you wanted to?
No
scenario.
No. I mean, you know, the ones we were more worried about, Connor was able to... He was able to qualify in December.
Yeah.
So the ones we were more worried about was Aiden and Cole, because if they qualified when they went to DC, then 2 weekends later was trials, and then a weekend later was the Open, right? So there would have been 3 weekends out of four, which obviously isn't ideal, but it's like, again, the Olympics is every 4 years. This would be such a huge thing for them. I mean, they went Aiden Sinclair at 18 years old. Okay, well, if he competes for a long time, it's going to be 30 years old. That's three more Olympic trials. Like, you might as well give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of these guys were already qualified for the trials. They didn't necessarily have to compete. I think
The only one that qualified was Jax at that one. The only high school kid that qualified at the last chance.
Oh, I'm talking about qualify for junior trials.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, none of these kids had to do the U20 Nationals. Every single one was qualified via either being age-level world team member or Fargo placement. Or
whatever. It does make a huge advantage to sit out.
You think that helps?
Oh, yeah. Big time. And that one's all in one day.
Yeah.
Right, that one's not even the next day. That one's same day.
It's all same day?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, they wrestle like 9 a.m. to, say, I think it's like 9 to 3 is the tournament. The
brackets are generally smaller.
They're not huge, but like every once in a while you get a big one. Like, I would guess they'll all be over 8, so which means the number one seed gets at least 3 matches.
They're kids,
generally
though.
There's like, what?
They're kids. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they can scrap. They got scrap. But generally, there's maybe one or two over 16.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Not too bad. Okay. Hey, I don't know if you guys noticed, but we actually look sharp today. I know. This show is actually sponsored. Mm-hmm. It's brought to you by State and Liberty. You'll see me, JD, and Tyler, all sporting State and Liberty. Tyler here is going to tell you about State and Liberty, him being a Michigan man and all.
That's right. This episode is presented by State and Liberty. They make athletic fit performance fabric men's dress clothes. They're bigger in the shoulders, chest, and arms, tapered at the waist, perfect for the wrestler physique.
Whoa.
We're wearing this stuff and we love it, but don't just take our word for it. Thousands of professional athletes between the NHL, MLB, NFL, NBA, UFC, that's a lot of three-letter organizations, wear these. If you want to check them out, head to stateandliberty.com or visit one of their 29 stores around the country. You can use code FLOWWRESTLING for 10% off your order. That's FLO Wrestling.
See, I didn't know they were – I just thought they were a Michigan entity, but in this process, I learned they're a nationwide brand.
I actually thought it was online only.
Don't get confused. In Ann Arbor, this brand was started in Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah.
It's called State and Liberty, but the actual retail location is on Maine and Liberty. So
okay.
Don't get it twisted.
So confusing.
Don't go to State and Liberty looking for that store.
I love Jake Herbert. Jake Herbert needs to come back around that.
I have a funny kind of Jake Herbert related story to this because at the 20, I think it was 14, Beat the Streets, I was there and there was like this dinner beforehand, you know, it's a small dinner. There's like 20 some people there. And I'm still pretty new at Flow and sort of, I'm able to hide how like enamored I am by these people, being around these people that I'm like, wow, I'm really eating a dinner with Brent Metcalf and Kyle Snyder and Jake Herbert. And Jake, of course, if you know him, or very agrarious and, you know, a talkative person, big personality. He meets me and then he proceeds to tell me, he's like, where did you get this shirt? I was like, what's wrong with the shirt? He's like, don't wear that shirt anymore. You need to get nicer clothes. I was like,
he did?
In my mind, I'm like, that's a nice shirt. It's like a polo shirt, button-up shirt. You know, I thought it was fine. And Jake said, no. He's like, you need to go. And he's obviously, this is just a dinner. He's not really like cutting an ad or anything. It's private.
Wait, so was it State and Liberty?
Yeah, and he's like, you should go. Look.
He started it that long ago?
He's like, feel this shirt. Feel this. This is State and Liberty. This is blah, blah, blah. And he's like telling me. I was like, okay.
I don't know. Did Jake start the company?
I have no idea.
I think he's just like a face of the brand. I don't know if he started it. I think he just really loves the clothes.
It won't make you do a back handspring, but these shirts will not prevent you from doing a back handspring. Yeah. That is one of their guarantees.
That's correct.
That's so funny.
Tyler can't do a back handspring.
The entire Michigan wrestling team wears these, and
really?
They look awesome while doing it.
They fit Mason Paris and Adam Kuhn.
Oh, they fit everybody.
They fit everyone's sizes.
Everyone's sizes.
And hey, listen, guys. We know those invitations are coming in the mail. The weddings, the graduations, all that stuff.
I'm 25, Christian. I'm young. I still got plenty of weddings ahead of me.
Yes.
Not unlike you.
Including
you're
your own.
Old.
At some point.
Including my own.
Well, Christian, you're at least probably going to get invited to JD's and then Tyler's.
Well,
right?
I was actually invited.
You were invited?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we were there.
It was fun.
It was a root and toot.
Is he
going to
get invited to yours?
Put me on the spot like
maybe.
That?
Maybe. Imagine if I
was. He was famously
guest
not,
list is gonna be tight.
He was famously not invited to my Halloween party and very upset about it.
And I wouldn't have come, but it was the fact that I wasn't invited that hurt so much.
Don't be a prima donna.
Yeah. You
Shane
know.
Sparks wears these.
Shane Sparks, Daniel
he looks
Cormier.
Awesome. Daniel Cormier while announcing. Look, I didn't want to say this, but they want to shut us down. The higher ups. And now you might think the CEO. No. then you might think
the board, higher than that.
No, the deep state
shoot
wants to shut us down unless we sell more ads on this podcast.
Yeah,
and the only way we can do that is if you go to stateandliberty.com and buy a clothes.
Buy us clothes
using code Flow Wrestling.
Get in these.
I'll look for the documents on the.
These clothes are nice. These They're are really very nice clothes.
I got a Q-zip. It's quite comfy.
Look at them.
It's the only thing that makes JD Raider look presentable.
JD. Yeah.
And these guys, you know, they have kind of a, you know, vagrantism is sort of in vogue right now.
It really
looking
is.
Like you are in between homes and stuff. And these guys capture it well. But now look at them. Their clothes have zippers. They have buttons. They actually fit. None of Tyler's clothes fit. Sion Williams is blowing me up. He's like, hey, you got to get Tyler some clothes that fit.
That was like the main comment on our Olympic trials videos. We're all, get that blonde kid some clothes that fit.
Yeah.
State and Liberty, thank you.
Yeah, I think they were in the comments. They're like, all right, we've got to intervene here. We've got to. All right. Thank you, State and Liberty. And please, code Flow Wrestling, stateandliberty.com. Is that mm-hmm. the? Okay.
Stateandliberty.com.
My wife actually bought me a pair of shorts. I don't have a lot of clothes. These are Rudish shorts from like 2013. And those Sons of Guns, they won't make new ones, so I can get new shorts.
Dang.
But they've held up.
They're durable. They need to make some more. But she bought me some shorts the other day. And she's like, here, I get some shorts. I'm like, I don't buy clothes. So like, you don't need to do that. But then I put them on and they're so short. And I'm like, Amy, I don't wear shorts this short. I look like JD Raider.
That's funny.
Shane Sparks in the Facebook chat saying it's the only thing he wears.
Yeah, he's always Ooh. Shouting them out. He does look, he has nice suits.
He is dressed up a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a nice suit if you have hair like that.
I feel like Sparknader doesn't come on the show very much anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
Shane, you don't like
Shane, it. You're in the chat, but you won't hop on to bid Ben Askren adieu.
Jeez, how rude.
Shameful. Shameful.
You know, I did an interview with Shane Sparks probably in 2004 when he asked. Wow. He used to have a radio show in, I think it was Appleton, Wisconsin, maybe, or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have been 2004.
Maybe four or five. Somewhere it was a
You're
long
like
time
a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. I was like a freshman or sophomore in college, yeah.
Wow. I'd like to get my hands on that interview.
Oh, my gosh.
How crazy.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Look, they got a solo shot of JD. Look at him.
Oh, yeah.
Handsome guy. Okay. Back on topic. That was a good job, Tyler.
Yeah,
I kind of feel lost. This is my second studio show here in this studio. Uh-huh. It does feel so much different without a doc and information in front of you.
Yeah,
it feels really strange. Like it feels like
that's just how I wanted it. I didn't want you guys to have access to anything. Yeah.
See, the one thing about having a sponsored show, State and Liberty, it's like here's
it back.
The thing. Well, it all comes back to Tyler.
Tell and that promo code
I
one
do
more
think
time.
He is trying to slowly insert, and so he has. You know, he's on the show, which that was not my decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts implementing these Michigan brands, mm-hmm. right? And I think he's trying to just turn this into a straight-up Michigan podcast.
You know what I hate about Michigan?
I'm getting rid of Ben. I made that call.
Yeah, getting rid of Ben. That was all right, there you have it. It was Tyler's decision.
They have all these Coney Islands, and they're the only state in the country that they're confused that it's actually good food, so they keep them open.
Yeah.
Every other state knows this is garbage.
You keep your mouth shut about Coney Island. Coney you don't Island? Know nothing about
Coney Island. Nobody likes Coney Island.
You say I don't like Coney Island?
You like no, Coney Island?
I like Coney Island.
First I've heard. He's
I've
never
been to multiple before. In my lifetime. And they're great. What other place can you get Euro and breakfast food at the same place? A Euro omelet only at Coney Island.
Okay.
What other famous Michigan brands do you like to rep?
They have to pay to get on the show. They okay. can't.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. it.
Did Culver's pay to get on the show?
No, but they no, they didn't. But
they
I wish,
did send us a bunch of free things.
I feel like there's got to be a Culver's State and Liberty collab waiting to
Seriously,
happen.
Seriously, when are you guys getting sponsored by Culver's?
I don't know, but the people from Casa Manorville, I think I'm saying that right, they sent us a bunch of stuff.
That's where Patrick Kennedy's from, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now I got this cup.
All right.
How did Ben come to be on this show?
I think he didn't ask me.
I asked Ben. I had wanted Ben to be on the show. We had an opening, and I knew he would bring bring what he brought to the table and more.
I was thinking about why you had the opening and that individual. One of my parents was in the bathroom when the fight started in Vegas.
Oh no!
And he told him,
"No,
the time and place. Take it out of the bathroom."
Yeah.
Skipping over that.
Lord, let's pray.
Oh my God. I wish I, the parents said he whiffed on the punch. I wish I would have seen it. I was just like dreaming of what it looked like. I wish I would have seen
it. I said, I told Willie, I said, you two should have just entered the Masters Greco.
Yeah.
Masters Greco. That's basically as close as you can get.
There were some hands. And then you have to stay.
I did see those old guys.
What, they're punching?
Well,
getting after it.
It gets serious. Okay. So I think those guys got to be a close weight. One of them can bump up, and
there you go.
They're all round robins, anyways. Most of them.
Yep.
So just forfeit the other ones.
I love that idea.
That's a good idea, right?
Great. Yes.
Veterans Greco. That's where we settle beefs moving forward. None of mine because I'm not gonna do it.
Even that's a great idea.
It's a good idea. Yeah. So that would have been better than outside the restroom.
Yeah. One of my parents is like, guess what just happened?
No one loves gossip like the wrestling community.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Then you asked me if that picture was real.
That's because a few of the other coaches were like, look at this picture. And I'm like, that's not real. And they didn't believe me.
Yeah. The real psycho move is that someone held on to that picture for 6 years.
No, it's probably on the internet somewhere.
So I posted.
Here's the thing about what you guys are talking about. We're like kind of dancing around it. Do you want to talk about it or do you not want to talk about it? Because the vast majority of our listeners probably have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, there was a little skirmish between Willie and someone at the U.S. Open, and I don't think it was.
It started in the bathroom and there was AWA parent in there.
That's where you used to go to fight at Buffalo Gap. You know, stay off the grid.
Because there's no cameras in there or something?
Well, there's probably not many cameras when I was there at all.
Okay.
But that or Pappy's Place, which is just down the road.
What? That's where that
was like
the
a gas
went down?
Like a gas station.
Oh. I'll meet you at Pappy's Place at 3 p.m. Pappy's. You know who I love? The Rainey twins.
Oh, my
God. Their dad is hilarious. Did you see him? Surely you saw him. And he was filming the match, and then during the breaks, he would like walk over to this brother and like put it in his face. And they would but I'm like, hey, Tim, are they gonna wrestle? And he's like, yep. I'm like, just like they do in the living room all the time, huh? He's like, yep. They better go hard.
They went hard. It was funny because every time Jordan won, right?
I believe Jordan won.
Jordan would get up big, and then Jaden would come back within like a point or two, and then Jordan would pull away.
So funny.
They're really fun to watch. But anyways.
Anyways, you asked me because there was an opening.
There was an opening. Yes. Why did you want to do it?
So I've been podcasting for a while previous to that. So I started podcasting because Tommy Rollins and I were on the phone talking about knee pads. And I have no idea how it came up. But he's like, I want to do a podcast. I said, well, I want to do a podcast. And then I said, well, let's just do a podcast. And we did... we produced our own. I think it was audio only. I don't think there was any video for maybe a couple years. We had fun with that. And then Tommy just wasn't able to, like, commit to any type of consistent schedule. And then, so obviously, he works with Rudis. And he said, well, why don't you do one for Rudis? And so then Matt Dernlin and I did a show together for at least a couple years, I would say. And that was good. And then... you offered me, and I thought this would great. You know, sound great. And, you know, Matt had other jobs at Rudis also, so he wasn't, like, all the time on just the podcast part of it. He was doing a whole bunch of things, and so it felt like this was a more permanent solution to talk about wrestling the way I want to.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought Ben would come on and deliver, obviously, a high level of expertise and passion for the sport, but I think what I didn't consider or factor in, because I was just thinking about the entertainment and the knowledge factor, is just like the overall positive impact, just having his voice and kind of his perspective on youth wrestling, and which is very healthy and I think wise, and I think that's been probably one of the bigger impacts of having been on. So that's been awesome. So
yeah, thank you.
Hopefully you will continue to impart your wisdom to
I'll probably keep up with the Mental Mondays. I feel like I'm not going to do any podcasting anymore. We're done with that, but I feel like, you know, streaming now is as easy as going go live and saying, like, I don't like what happened in the Michigan Iowa State match, blah blah blah, right? Something like that, maybe once in a while.
Yeah, I think you should honestly just, you could very simply, and not be a podcaster, but just start like a Mental Monday podcast and just upload the feed there. It would take no time, and then you would have all this wisdom.
I don't know about how I just want to do it and get the word out there, right?
Yeah.
If I go live on Facebook, So I've done a few different. I go live on Facebook. I get more views than if I tape it on my phone and put it on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So
really?
There's something about going live that does make it do really well. But yes, that will always get more views, and it's kind of easier than, you know, posting it everywhere. So, yeah.
Ben here not only giving people advice about wrestling, but also how to get as many views as possible.
He's an industry professional guy.
Social medias. Yeah.
Ben, on your first show on FRL, you talked about how you had to yell at some parents because they were yelling at their kids.
Yeah.
Have you had to do that less over the years?
Yeah, I mean, obviously parents are going, I don't think I yelled at anyone this weekend. There were some parents who were like, I don't want to say kind of borderline, but yeah, no, it was mostly.
But have you witnessed a change in culture?
I think it's changing, and I think people are realizing that that's the case. And you know, and I go back to P&L again. That's something that, well, you know, the original eight, the founders, that's something we all agreed on, is that, you know, parents can be out of line, and even coaches can be out of line to referees. And so, like, Daniel Cormier, you got fined $500, bro. The only one that got fined. But, like, literally, it's in the documents that if you're out of line, you get fined. And so, it's, you know, in order to hold everyone in check and treat the refs better. And I still cringe at it. Some of the higher-level coaches, some of the things they say to the referees, it makes me cringe. It makes me feel like, how do you feel like this is right to say to another human being? It's just not the right thing to do. And the other one, I mean, the other thing I think when I think about that, this is more coaches to referees, is as a coach, you stress personal responsibility, and then you blame the ref every match.
Yeah.
It's like, but you're stressing personal responsibility, personal responsibility, personal responsibility, and then, oh, but it's the ref. It's like, no. Like, you know, I know one of my guys got put down this weekend. It was a caution one on the edge, which I didn't agree with, and then because he was on his knees, he went down, right? Yeah. And he got leg laced, and he got caught in leg lace and tech fall. It would have been easy to say, oh, well, that ref made a bad call, not your fault. But it's like, well, yeah, it was a bad call, I think. But same time, you got to be able to have a bad call and still win the match and be able to defend a leg lace. That one's on you. And also, you probably could have circled instead of, you know, actually, and I don't know, it's, well, totally different topic, but I feel like they're not calling grounded barely at all. Like, I feel like there was a whole bunch of caution ones and ones on knees on the edge, which I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But it needs to be more like, here's what we're doing, just so you know.
Yeah.
As opposed to, it feels like a surprise. It feels like, wait, 3 weeks ago, they weren't doing that.
100%. It's a point of emphasis. I don't know if you were on the show where I talked about at the last chance. I don't know if you noticed, probably not. But on every table for the last chance qualifier, it had like some points of emphasis written on it. And one of them was like, grounded's caution in one. If you're using grounded to like avoid action, basically the things we've.
Well, that's kind of how it should be.
It's kind of how it should be.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's not like it's something that it is kind of a secret. They're only telling the other refs like, hey.
This weekend, I mean, I noticed it so clearly this weekend. It was like that is getting called all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
consider this a PSA to all wrestlers in America. They're going to be calling this. So if you drop down,
but you know, it'd be so much easier than that. If they just gave push out on the knees.
Yeah.
Just give a push out on the knees. Just say, if we are in the neutral position and you go out of bounds at the push out point, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So simple.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of silly watching these like people are like sliding.
Because they don't give the one, right? So in this scenario, against my guy, they didn't give the 1 point push out. They said grounded, but caution one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's actually better just to give up a step out.
It would be better just to give up a step out. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you want
to? Oh, I don't know. I thought you had something.
Okay.
You're texting hot chicks on your phone or something?
Just my wife. No, the documents on here.
Okay.
I got the documents. All right, Ben. Any what were your expectations doing the show versus kind of like the reality?
Huh.
Any surprises?
Yeah, I don't think there's any surprises. So I was an avid listener. I don't know if I listened to every single show, but I would say I listened to the high majority of the show. You know what? One thing that I think is funny from a perspective thing is I always feel like, you know, part of me feels like we've been doing this forever, and then part of me feels like, oh, I just got on the show, you know, but then it's like, well, I've done, you know, like, I think it was 440 or something, so I've done almost 600 shows, which is more shows than were done previously before when I got on, so it's like, damn, I kind of been here for a minute.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, but no, I don't think so, because I listened to it, I always enjoyed listening to Wrestling Talk, and I thought it was good.
It was it was crazy how it started, because you came on in January of 2020.
Oh, that was
months before the world shut down. And man, thank goodness we had something to do.
You know, actually, okay, that makes me think of what I should be saying for the last question. The last question was, anything surprised me? I'm surprised how damn sensitive y'all are. Y'all are so sensitive. I had just a refreshing moment this week. I talked to Coach Mormet. He was laughing about the fact that I gave him the nickname the Michigan Mercenaries. Like, that's how a coach should be. They shouldn't be like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. I'm taking that personal. Like, I think there's a lot of people who maybe like probably don't like me as much anymore because of things I said on the show. But when you take it in the context of, well, sometimes I'm being entertaining. And then most of the time, all the time, I'm just saying how I feel, right? And as individuals, you're not going to do everything perfect. So if your team has a bad performance and we say your team has a bad performance, like, why are you taking that personal? Like, just be objective. That is true. Your team had a bad performance. You're probably going to have a bad performance moving forward. Or if you stall a lot and you're boring, and I say you stall a lot and you're boring, just accept, well, yeah, I can look at the wrestle stat and all the damn matches are 3-1. Yeah, you clearly stall a lot and you're boring. Doesn't mean that you're a bad person. I think you're probably a great individual. But you are boring. And just say, listen, yes, I'm boring. I chose to be boring because I thought that was how I was going to win the most matches. Why are you mad at me over it? So that's the thing I'm most surprised about is how sensitive these dudes are. Stop being so sensitive. If I tell you like it is, they just be like, yeah, you're probably right. You're not a butthole.
That was definitely one of the things I learned and was surprised about. And also, like you mentioned, just kind of coach behavior. That was an eye-opening thing for me when I first started at Flow, because I built up wrestling coaches, especially the elite, as just the most accountable people.
Yeah.
And then I see them blame officials and, you know, claim sabotage and just kind of say audacious things. And then the way they treat that was eye-opening to me. It's like they're not all quite what you would expect. And then similarly, like, the sensitivity is kind of like not the bravado
bravado's fair.
How you would normally view wrestlers and wrestling, the aesthetic, like what you have to do to be good at wrestling is insane. And then
luckily they're just a little too scared to come at me about it. And they just come at you and send you these long emails of which you shared a few. I'm not going to out anybody. I could just be, maybe I should make Flow episode 10,024 Ben Askren's basement, where I tell all the people who whined and sent Christian these long emails and tried to guilt him. Cause if you would have emailed me, I would have told you.
What if Ben just used the last show to burn all his bridges?
Yeah.
Well, they're not bridges. Honestly, when people send emails like that,
the bridge is burned.
F them. I ain't talking to them no more. I'm not doing nothing with them. If they want to come say sorry, I'm sorry I tried to use that tactic against you, fine. But listen, if you're going to act like that, I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to do things with you. If you're going to really be like that, I'm out. I'm just not dealing with you anymore.
And to those people, that's the reason Ben's leaving. He's out.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I ignore you. If you wonder why I'm ignoring you, that's probably why I'm ignoring you, because I know you sent an email or a call or tried to do something dumb.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, when you have Ben on here, he says what he thinks, and I signed up for that.
Not everyone loves that.
I signed up. It's like, so when I sign up for the...
Was the first time where you were like, damn it, what the heck? I know when it was. Jake Burrows, that was him. Like, what did I do? Yeah. Oh.
Well, that was, you know what?
Oh man!
But that was not your fault.
Oh, yeah, that was totally my fault.
Well, it was your fault, but
all my fault.
Okay, here's what I'll say.
It was so awesome.
There's other layers, right?
Listen,
but most of the blame on Tyler B.
No, Tyler B. had nothing to do with it. Oh, it was another producer who's not even here anymore.
So we can blame him for sure.
What? Because listen,
I co-opted him.
If the producer had come to me and be like, hey, Ben wants to do this, I'd be like, no, we're not. But I
went to him directly because I knew you were going to say no.
Yeah. So that's honestly, I know Ben is, he's young at heart. He likes mischief. It's not bad. It's just, he's mischievous. So I knew I signed up for mischief. I knew I signed up for, hey, he's gonna ruffle some feathers. So the emails I got and all the complaints, he is broadly, and that's another thing about emails and social media, broadly appreciated and loved for what he brings to the show. But I was like, you know, I signed up for a little bit of the.
You know the thing about Jordan Burroughs there though, that it actually I would say I respect it, but it kind of goes to one of the points we've said so far is that, like, people get offended about what we were doing a fake wrestling tournament. I gave Kyle Dick 1:09 ride time to win the match.
I love the specificity that you
said. I gave 1:09. I didn't say the man beat you 10-2. I didn't say that, right? I said it was 1:09. And he was pissed about it. He was not. He came on the next morning before the show even started. He was coming at me. He's like, "That's dumb. Why would you do that?" And really like being aggressive.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that he was just willing to come on and say like, "Hey, I think you're dumb and I think you're wrong."
Yeah.
I love it. Versus someone who'd send like a nasty email about it. Like,
yeah,
I love that, that he just called, you know, well, he didn't call. He called you and then came on and said, "This, you're stupid. This is wrong." I'm like, okay, you're direct. You're up front. I appreciate that.
Also, yeah. to his credit, too, and I think there's been, if anyone had a reason to be mad, it'd be probably him about being, like, ambushed on the show like that. But then didn't you call him afterwards? And he was like, it's cool. Like,
yeah. He was mad at me for a while.
Mad at Ben.
I said it was fair. I said, that's for you. You're fine. That's fine. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, I was just glad he wasn't mad at me.
For the first time. Usually people love to get mad at Christian for the things that Ben does.
Jordan's a fair man and a good person.
Yeah, very fair man. Very respectable.
That was, that was freaking wild. That was not my favorite show, but it was, I think for some of you it might have been.
It was so awesome.
Yeah. For a mischief maker.
Oh my God.
It's perfect. All right, you want
that show actually went harder than I thought. Like,
it was bad.
Once they just got going, they just couldn't stop.
I was like, no, I like these guys too much to watch them hate each other live on air.
Do you have any regrets, Ben? Are there things you wish you did say?
Regrets.
Anything you wish you said or didn't say?
Well, I would say it right now if I had anything. and like I said, I can go live. I can go live on my phone. What?
Nope, this
Christian
is
wrote that question down, and I don't know if he – do you really want to ask Ben that question?
Yeah.
I don't think I do. I actually don't.
Generally speak your mind.
That's why he has a no regrets tattoo.
Yeah, I do. It's on my butt.
I knew it.
All right, let me show you.
No!
No. No, I don't think I have any, I don't think I have any regrets. I think I said what I wanted to say, and, I think I was fair and balanced. And if I was biased, I probably told you I was biased. Like, I'm going to pick a lot of Mizzou guys cause that's what I want to do. And I set it up front.
Yeah.
It never really came to fruition, unfortunately.
Do you have any regrets about how much you bragged about winning the pick'em contest and that you just have?
Hell no. Going to brag.
You have no class. Just no class. Act like you've been there before.
Bro, I win so many pick'em contests.
Didn't you win like 3 in a row?
2.
I love seeing Christian lose. I don't know if you know that about me.
Yeah.
And I won the trials last year too, the Olympic trials. I won that one also.
You won the Olympic trials?
Yeah.
Good luck in Paris.
I said the Olympic trials last year.
I would have missed it.
Was anything else? I mean, that's a big question, like, because it's like, what else in the world could I say? So I'm thinking, like, I don't feel like there's anything.
No.
I suppose if I, you know, in 2 weeks I think of something, I'll just call you and say, hey, I forgot. Can I come on? I forgot that thing. I have a regret.
Well, I asked the chat to send some nice things about Ben. I'll sprinkle them in every once in a while.
Just maybe like a couple. We can't have too much time.
Just
like
he's going to get all bashed.
Not too many. My just wife one, says I take compliments
I'll just,
terribly.
I'll just read one at a time. We'll sprinkle them in. This one is from Ben Schlageck in the Facebook chat. Ben in AWA is changing wrestling for the better. Thanks for doing what you do. Also a great personality on FRL. You'll be missed here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you don't take them well.
My personal favorite Ben on FRL moment was for sure the Wayne Boffman story.
So good.
I now have that story.
I have a regret that you haven't made a face off with Shane Sparks holding their pee. I do you know how happy that would make me? And how funny it would be. It was literally like it.
Well,
you,
first
you have
the
to have
their
them,
pants loses.
Yeah, this is so easy. Have them in for like you guys do the watch parties. Mm-hmm. Have him and a couple challengers, right?
Yeah.
So it's Shane Sparks and it's two other people who think they can beat him. I don't know if you think. You're probably not crazy enough to think you can beat
him.
No. This is not a contest I want to win.
No.
Have them in for a watch party. Sit them down at 9 a.m. or whatever. They have to drink, 16 ounces of water in an hour, something like this, right? And see who can hold their piss the longest.
Yeah.
It would be so amazing.
This would be good.
They would just be sitting there just squirming and, oh my God.
We have some big, some bigger people. You know, a bigger bladder, you can hold a little more water. Big container.
There you go.
Like
there
a camel.
So who wants to challenge Shane Sparks? Because I'm so in on that.
Is Shane, like, notoriously good at holding his pee?
Bro, you haven't heard him talk about this?
Oh, proclaimed.
He really? And he doesn't, like, Shane is a very humble person. Yes. Actually puts himself down to it. Yes. But he's like, no one can beat me on this.
Yes. Tyler, he says, I don't know if this is true. Shane says he sits down at NCAAs and does not pee till the end of the day.
What?
That's what he
must not
he
drink
swears.
Water.
No, he says
is
he drinks.
He's in pain the whole time.
No, he says he does. I don't know if I believe him.
He's like Kim Jong-un. He just uses all of his energy, so there's none left to dispose.
He's often compared to Kim Jong-un. This is not the first time that's come up, JD, but I'm mm-hmm. glad you brought it up.
That would make me, that, I would laugh so hard if
yeah,
that
we should do that. That
really would.
That would be a funny story.
Maybe, you know what would be great? I don't know if he's going. He's probably not going. Olympics watch party.
Okay.
Yeah, something
like
that.
The sessions get pretty long.
Those sessions get long.
It's a long week, too. Yeah, we'll bring Shane out.
Who could beat Shane Sparks in a pee-holding contest?
I think he, if he's really as good as he says he is, you're going to need someone with the big capacity.
Not put me. Mark Bader in there. See what Mark Bader can do.
He might be crazy Bader enough.
Bader is nuts.
Yeah, he's nuts.
A lot of people don't know this.
Most people do.
Most people do know.
By now.
By now, yeah.
Did you think you'd be on the show this long, Ben?
I don't even think I thought about when I started. So, yeah.
Started January 2020.
January of 2020. Yeah, I don't think I thought about what the end date would be. I think I just thought, hey, I'll do this. And I think we just did, like I said, 1 year in the beginning. We'll see how it goes. And then it went well. And, yeah, so I didn't really think about it too much.
I think it's been cool. Like, AWA was sort of beginning its ascent.
Yes.
When you came in, you had Keegan. You had some other guys, Rashka. And then now, like, kind of as you're coming to the end here, like, four guys in the U20 finals.
That was so awesome.
That's kind of crazy, man. how proud were you during that moment?
Yeah, it was awesome. And I mean, one of the things I'm most proud of is still to this point, at some point, I feel like it just has to change, but they're all homegrown. I mean, those guys, they're probably all within 45 minutes of each other, like their hometowns. Like they're not, it's not far away. And man, they're all such good friends and they're all such hard workers. And it's just, yeah, it's fun being around that group of kids because they just love it and they do all the things right. And now we're already going to see them go to the next level. And so, yeah, hopefully we can convert and put a few of them on the world team and keep crushing it.
I have a question for Ben. Yeah. Ben, you've always – I feel like you've been someone who's, like, leaned into media for a mm-hmm. long time.
Yeah.
And I know that that's kind of like a controversial thing in wrestling. Like, should you do that? Should you not?
Yeah.
What kind of conversations do you have around social media with your athletes and media and stuff?
No,
like
I try to push them to do stuff for sure. Obviously Flo's not coming to interview all these guys all the time. Although you guys said, you let Aiden come on a podcast. I mean, he's hilarious. You guys should.
He is really funny.
He actually might be my replacement.
Yeah, maybe
in
so.
In the NIL era. He's hilarious. But with the WI Wrestle, I'll push him to do interviews because it's like, listen, if you're going to college, you're going to get a camera shoved in your face. And if the first time you get a camera shoved in your face is on ESPN, and you say some dumb stuff, like, that's not good, right? Like, you need to have, like, those small-time things where you're, there's only a couple hundred people or maybe a couple thousand people watching it, and you kind of, like, learn how to do media over time. The worst thing they could do would be, to never talk to media, and then all of a sudden you go and you're on ESPN, and there's, a million people watching, and you say some dumb things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should go back, see if you can find the oldest Jordan Burroughs interview you can find. I think there's some, I think Martin did during like 2008 or 9 or so, and listen to him now, or even just listen to him 7 years later after that, like the amount of just how good he.
It's a skill for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And he worked at it, and that's good that your guys are working at it. Yeah. That's, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's how I became aware of Ben is because you were just all over Flo during your senior season of college. And I think that's how a lot of people kind of came to know you.
Yeah. Have you ever had any kids talk to you about how, like, they feel like it might be
none of them like it in the beginning.
Yeah.
They're all kind of like anti, do your college commitment or something, just because, again, you need a camera put in your face. You need to ask tough questions. And you need to figure out how to answer those in real time and do media, most of them are pretty, they're like, nah, I don't want to do that. And you know what? It's probably likely, I don't want to peer too far into their psyches, it's likely not because they think media is actually a bad thing. It's mostly because fear, right? It's kind of scary to be put on the spot and have a camera stuck in your face. And especially when it's live and they're asking you questions, like, it's kind of scary a little bit. Honestly, like, I've gotten so comfortable with it now. Like, I'm just in my basement talking to you guys most of the time. And sometimes, I don't want to say I crossed the line, but I probably get really close to the line because I'm just in my basement talking to my friends and I say some wild stuff.
I'm on a private Zoom
and
call.
I'm like, I guess no one's listening, maybe.
That is something that's probably my, I don't think I slipped.
Kryptonite.
It's tough because especially, I don't know why at the old studio, I don't know why we spent so much time there. It really, you would forget. It's like, whoa, there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people are watching this. And I wish I didn't say that. We're live. That's just the show.
Right?
That's showbiz, baby.
That's kind of scary, though.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Someone puts a camera in your face and it's live and, you know, you don't get a redo.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
I feel like that's just like a part of the sport that is becoming more and more prominent, and some guys are embracing it, some guys aren't. I feel like some people view it, wrestling as a culture, I think, is like so anti-attention.
Yeah.
And I think that you're just seeing the landscape change. Where
it is funny because they're so anti-attention, but then the Greco people are like, why does anyone pay attention to us? You know, or like people, but that is the thing in wrestling. Like even Sinclair was whining the other day about, oh, people in my school think this basketball player is better at basketball than I am at wrestling. And I'm like, okay, well, you should just say, like, you're dumb. And no, he's not. And that, you know, like, it's that simple. Like, yeah, that's dumb. That's so next funny. Topic. Like, come on.
It's so funny to imagine, like, I only know Aiden Sinclair as, like, just this, like, beast who just, like, messes college kids up on the mat. It's so funny to imagine him, like, thinking about, oh man, this girl thinks that this basketball player is better at basketball than I am at wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, you don't think about these kids in that way. It's kind of funny.
Yes, for real.
Yeah, I think for the media, it's like, well, what do you put out? You know, what is your message? You know, if your message is, I'm the best, I'm going to kill everyone, then people will be turned off by that. But just kind of being yourself.
That's the other thing now, Christian, with NIL era, you know, I guess we'll just, the most prominent one is Bassett. He puts out an insane amount of content. I mean, he puts out so much, and I'm sure he's going to reap the benefits of NIL.
More content than this guy.
What?
That's more content than Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler's slack.
He posts. But you know, or like matches before I have the opportunity to.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, like, you know, AWA or Kane Henschel, you know, like he's making good money doing his YouTube channel now. So, you know, maybe that's not for everybody, but for those top guys, if they can get some visibility, it's definitely going to make them more money. And then, you know, the other thing in wrestling now is if these guys make money, they can stay in the sport a long time. Or seeing David Taylor and Jordan Burroughs and Kyle Snyder and Kyle Dake stay in the sport a long time, where if you go back 15, 20 years when there was no money, that wasn't there was no one that was staying in the sport till they were 35.
Yeah.
It wasn't happening.
I feel like wrestling people and wrestling fans are looking for a reason to cheer for someone, looking for a reason to get behind someone, or looking for a reason to get excited about a match. In wrestling, the wrestlers don't often give them a reason other than what they've done on the mat.
Yeah.
They don't want to put themselves out there. They don't want to create a storyline. And I think, you know, Bo Bassett is someone that a lot of people are getting behind. And with that, you know, and this will be an unfortunate aspect for Bo, but no matter how great of a kid he is, there's going to be some people that are going to be detractors when you reach a certain level of
popularity. Well, it's like Penn State also.
Yeah.
Right? People hate Penn State, hate on Penn State. And very clearly they're the best, and it's not even a close margin at this point.
Yeah. I feel like the hate level for Penn State has not reached the level. I don't think it's proportional to their dominance. I feel like it's still throttled.
They're kind of hard to hate.
That's what I
think. Kale's just such a nice, humble guy. And at this point it's kind of hard to hate them. I mean, who knows, maybe the Burroughs thing at, you know, trials
upset
on them. I'm not really certain, but yeah, they've been to this point, you know, relatively hard to hate. They're just so kind of happy-go-lucky and just do the right thing and wrestle hard. And so that does make them hard to hate.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go back to my phone.
Next topic.
What you got?
Do you want to move on to questions, or do you want to?
I don't know. What you got? We got 35 minutes.
Well, I was interested in this question. It's, when can we expect another flow card?
I want to flow. I want to wrestle. I told you this.
You do?
Yes, I told you this.
Why you want to wrestle on a flow card?
Yeah, I've been telling him for years. I said, listen, I don't want to wrestle in a tournament. I got to make weight and get ready and blah, blah, blah. I said, but I'd love to smash someone. Now, and listen, one of the things I did stupid in my older age was, and this is just because I just love to compete. Like when they said, you want to show Jordan Burroughs? I'm like, yeah, of course. It's like, I know he's going to beat me. I went and trained with him for 4 days. Like, I kind of know what the result's going to be. But then in that, you know, it helped wrestling, obviously, because I had a lot of popularity.
Huge.
It helped beat the streets, so that was good. But I kind of knew what the result would be, you know. But I've had this unfortunate habit of just saying yes to certain things that maybe I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So call out an opponent right now. You know you can.
Oh, you know who you want.
Well, he's easy. I'll pit him in like three.
So maybe two that day.
Well, you know what? No, I said if I ever make, if Flo ever does cards and I can ever like make it, because I'm jealous of these jiu-jitsu guys who can just do jiu-jitsu and make money.
Yeah.
Because it's so cool to be able to do that. Like I was training with, oh my gosh, how am I forgetting his name? Please help me here.
Craig?
Dre?
No, really big.
Gordon Ryan?
Rafael Lovato.
Oh, Lovato?
Yeah, he's came to my gym now a couple times.
Oh, really?
He's got an affiliate with Duke. And, you know, he does a lot of your Flo cards.
Yeah.
He makes good money. And it's cool because I think he's maybe a year older than me, and he still gets to, like, train jiu-jitsu full-time, and he also does the coaching, but it works together. And they're like, well, why don't you do grappling? And I actually think, like, well, grappling would be a lot of fun. But it's like, but I'm in the wrestling room all day, and I'm doing wrestling, and I'm teaching wrestling. So, like,
there's synergy there.
There's synergy. So if I was to do a wrestling match, well, I'm already wrestling with Aiden Sinclair one day a week. And, you know, like I'm wrestling like three times a week probably.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'd wrestle one more day a week. You know, something a little more, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so that would be a lot of fun. So I said if I ever, like, did a comeback, I'd be like, just give me a bunch of bums. I want, like, five or six easy wins in a row. I'm just, listen, they could be, like, Division All-Americans. I'll kill them, right? But, like, give me a Dylan Palacio. He's easy. If I wrestle Dylan Palacio, no time limit. Let me score 100 points on that sucker, okay? Just let me just beat him up.
100 freestyle points or 100 folk-style points?
Either one. Doesn't matter.
Either one.
Yeah, freestyle might be too easy to score 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one gut.
Yeah, one gut. He'll be just rolled over. Yeah, so it'd be cool if you guys did cards, but you guys haven't done one since 2021.
We should do, like, I think with Dylan, you should do, like, a 100-point challenge. If he lasts...
Ooh, that's a good one.
Lasts 10 minutes, 20, ooh, 20 minutes.
10 minutes. He could probably evade for a few minutes. I think 15 would be fair.
Yeah, 15 minutes, 100 points.
Yeah, and I get, like, maybe 10 points every time I pin him. No, he wouldn't last that long.
No.
Yeah. You'd pin him too fast?
Well, if I get 10 points for a pin.
No pins allowed. No,
if I get 10 points for a pin to get to 100, so 10 bonus points for a pin.
If he wrestled you, boom, whistle blow, how long would it take you to pin Dylan Palacio? Like, pretend it's the NCAA semis and you're not trying to prove a point.
87 seconds.
87 seconds?
Yeah.
I think I could pin Christian in 5 seconds.
He said that.
I don't believe it.
He can't pin me in 5 seconds.
Come on, dude.
Like, 17.
Bro, 17? Now we're getting close.
My pin record was, like, not in college, but in high school, was, like, 5 seconds.
There was probably someone who came at you. If he knows his job is to not get pinned,
that guy was way better at wrestling than Christian is.
I doubt that. 5 seconds? I'd last longer than 5 seconds.
No, it's probably some slump.
You take one step back and
I've seen Christian's stance.
My stance is all right.
Elbows in, circle a little bit. Yeah.
I think I would just blast double him to a body lock pin.
Blast double. Yeah, so you got to keep your elbows in. Don't let them under.
I keep my elbows in.
Put your head down.
Turn down.
Head block him. Boom.
All I need is just to get taken down. If I get taken down, he's not pinning me in 5 seconds. The smartest thing.
Gonna pull. Bro, guard. Can I complain about Chris a call this weekend? Guard. That made me think about a.
Yeah, be unaccountable.
Go for it.
These referees sometimes. Listen, I don't think I yelled at one. I did not yell at one referee this weekend. I don't believe. If I did, I'm sorry. I don't think I did. I don't think I yelled at you one time. But there was this one ref, and I wanted to go talk to him after the thing. That said, you just got to do better. Actually, I did talk to the referee. Did you see the
there was one where I saw you walk
Noah?
Across.
Well, it was the two referees confirmed the call.
Yeah.
He said, nah, kiss my butt.
Well, I think chair has to confirm.
That's what he told me. So I said, but why? So in my opinion, the other guy over there, he shouldn't put nothing up. If he can't do anything and he's irrelevant, just keep your paddles down then.
Yeah.
Don't get me all excited. But this one match, he must have had some drinks the night before or something. Because my guy digs double unders. The other guy turned his back and falls down.
Uh-huh.
Because he's like, I don't want to get bombed. Of course, it's freestyle.
Slip.
And they confirmed it. And I'm like, no, what are you guys doing? What in the world just happened?
That's
like what you do to not get pinned.
Yeah. I do this. Once I get taken down, it's over. 5 seconds, no problem.
We're talking about flow cards, and Ben was talking about how he wants to wrestle in one. And Amy Askren's in the Facebook chat. She said, I thought this was a retirement show, but Ben seems to be trying to start his whole career over right now.
Hey, Amy, you love seeing me as single, baby.
Let's go. So Dylan would be good.
That'd be an easy first one.
Easy first one.
Easy first
one. You want to work your way up the food chain?
Yeah, like, and actually that maybe, you know, maybe my final boss, because he's called me a blowbag, it'd be Starocky. But listen, I'm not, he's good. He's really good. I'm not doing him first.
No.
F that. That's like, I gotta work my way up to that one. Like, you know, he may be a little annoying, but he's very good at wrestling. So I'm not under the illusion that, I don't know, maybe I could beat him, but probably not. Like, yeah. He's really good. So I'd work my way up there.
Well, what do you think favors you more, freestyle or folk style?
I love them both. I can do both.
Okay.
You know what's funny is when you're a little kid, you always think like it takes time to transition into different styles, like you know, folk style season ends and freestyle. Like for me, it's like I'll wrestle Mitchell like last year when he was there. I'd wrestle Mitchell freestyle in the morning. I wrestle Noah folk style in the afternoon. Like yeah. it's just so intuitive at this point.
We had a good Johnny DeJulius was on the last show, and we had a good little debate about the folk style freestyle debate and how
the debate about the debate,
mm-hmm. and you know how much does the folk style training that we do during the that season help us for freestyle? But
he was mostly a folk style, if I remember.
Yeah, but he wants all freestyle.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, wasn't he better at folk style? Or am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah, no, he's good at folk style. Okay. He won CKLV, pinned Cody Brewer. Yeah. He beat some good guys. Beat Corey Clark. He actually beat several national champions.
I have a fun question. Oh. It'll ignite an old debate for a long time.
After oh, I know which I know. One you're going to ask.
This question says,
this proves it. This proves
it does
it.
Not prove it.
This question, yes, it does.
All right, let me say the question. The question is, does the success of AWA prove there is no such thing as talent, or are there just a lot of talented wrestlers living in the same area?
No, this is so obvious.
This is so it is obvious.
Because look, you have the state of Wisconsin who has how many years of historical data on their results at Fargo, NCAAs, right? And so you've seen this line of historical data, and maybe there's like a 1 or 2 year bump. You know, I come along and I get some points, right? But it's more like if you say average 5 years of NCAA Division I points, it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, and then all of a sudden it goes like this.
Okay, that.
How do you explain for that?
It's called coaching, Ben.
Yeah.
There's no disagreement. Listen, the reason Wisconsin is experiencing a surge and AWA is doing what it's doing is coaching, obviously. But, and we've already done this, and this debate has already been won by me, but we...
Amy, don't you start posting the damn Facebook chat. This is my number one marital dispute. Someone brings this up, and Amy's like, no, please stop. Please really? Stop now, because we will fight. Because, no, listen, I have science and data, well, then and why she has feelings.
Why aren't every one of your kids champions?
Yeah, same coach.
They're going to be eventually.
They all
okay.
They're
right,
all going to win the Olympics eventually.
Amy did say, "Please do not get him started on talent."
Well, the thing is, what we did agree with, and it's semantic because we both believe that different athletes are given different gifts from others. Some have speed, some have better proprioception, some have better whatever natural endurance.
Cardio.
So there are those advantages that are innate about them,
possibly.
Definitely. You cannot run as fast. You're not explosive.
You're right.
It's true.
So there's innate differences, but when you the definition of talent in the sport of wrestling is very sketchy.
But yeah, see, I would not say, oh, your talent. I don't think talent means you're skillful.
Yes.
I don't think that.
That's fair.
So we agree.
Here's the frustrating thing for me hearing this argument recounted to me, because I wasn't there when it first happened. Yeah. I didn't hear the show.
Yeah.
But I was told, Ben, that you think that you didn't have any talent.
Well, if it doesn't exist, you cannot have it.
Okay, fair. Okay,
boom.
Oh my God.
So you think Ben has no talent?
I think Ben has a lot of talent.
I think
so, guys. And this is the thing. This isn't where you want to rewrite history. It's like, okay, when I sucked for like 8 years, mm-hmm. right? No one was saying that kid's talented, and that's where you know a lot of kids see a 10-year-old whose dad's grinded him a bunch, and they say, oh, he's really talented. No, his dad has made him do thousands of reps already.
Yeah,
that's why he looks like that. Yeah. That's what happens when you do that, right? And so they say, oh, that kid's talent. No, that kid's had thousands of repetitions at that thing, and that's why he looks good at it. And so, like, when I wasn't good for, I don't know, 9 or 10 years of my wrestling career, and even then I started, you know, making an ascent, but it wasn't like a steep ascent, right? And then that probably ramped up maybe like year 11, somewhere in there is when it really starts turning up. And then everyone says, oh, he's talented. It's like, well, okay, but no one said that for 11 years, and now all of a sudden after 11 years, everyone said, oh, he's talented. Oh, he can feel the way things are moving. Well, I don't know. Is it because I just effing obsess about wrestling all the time or spend hours and hours and hours on the mat? I think there's probably something to that. Was that proprioception? Was it buried somewhere for a decade? I don't know. I guess that's possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Possibly. Yeah. I think you mirrored your innate gifts with a style, and it created unmatched
something really fun.
Yeah. Indeed. There, Amy, that wasn't so bad, was it, Amy?
It wasn't that bad.
Does Amy have like kind of my perspective?
Tony can be. I don't want. She doesn't have a microphone, so I'm not gonna.
Okay, you don't want to speak for her.
I don't want.
Amy, if you want to chime in,
I'll just say
call in. Our number is 555.
I'll just say I'm Team Amy, regardless of hearing her perspective on this.
Right.
I wish we did have a number. Maybe we'll try it again. We'll let Tyler. We'll let Tyler take the call.
Remember on episode two when you did have a number,
Johnny? We had a number.
I told Amy that story.
We never screened. You should play it for her. It's an SFW.
Zachariah on Twitter said, "Would Ben Askren wear closed-toed shoes for the rest of his life if it meant he could wrestle in college again? This would mean he was completely healthy and in shape."
I am healthy and in shape, son of a gun.
Yeah.
And this would mean if he was in completely healthy and in the shape he would want to be in.
That's a very hard trade.
Mm. Yeah.
No sandals ever. So could I wear closed-toed shoes or be barefoot completely? Or would I have to fully wear shoes?
I feel like
how many hours a day do I have to wear the shoes?
Outside the house, you have to wear closed-toed shoes. Inside the house,
how about in my yard? In my yard, do I have to wear shoes?
Let's say public.
Public. In your yard? No.
I'd probably just stay at my house and go to wrestling practice and then go back home.
Man, you really hate closed-toed shoes.
We got to develop some open-toed wrestling.
But it's funny because
I do it for a couple hours.
You wear closed-toed shoes all the time.
Well, when I wrestle?
Yeah.
Well, it's for like a couple hours.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, actually, usually, like, so if I have a longer day where I'm there for, like, you know, there'll be some days where I go private practice, and it's maybe a 5-hour-ish by the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
By the end, I'm like, I got these freaking shoes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, actually, on Sundays, usually, I go practice, private. But then at private, I just take my shoes off. I'm like, this is too long.
Really?
Yeah, too many hours in these damn
shoes. Do you wear socks?
With my shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a fair question. I think if you said I don't wear socks.
I have
a big no-show sock.
I have not worn socks sometimes.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's
not good.
Weird.
Not good at all.
This question, you guys, I don't know if you guys want to answer it. Maybe I'm missing something here. But Lefty Stroud on Twitter really wants to know what Ben's favorite firewood is.
I don't understand the question.
Okay, I thought maybe. Okay.
Dang, I kind of thought Ben would know what that means.
I thought that maybe that was a thing, but
no,
I don't.
Okay,
I got a big old pile of firewood. I'm kind of starting to know the differences between the trees, but I still don't know them all.
You don't got a favorite?
They didn't go over that in geography major school in Missouri.
Oh, I wonder if we did actually.
Probably not.
I did a geography Missouri course one time, so we probably did go over all the different.
Okay.
Stuff, yeah,
but you didn't.
I didn't pay attention. Yeah.
Okay, someone said, how about a what would Ben say tremendous or preposterous segment moving forward?
That's a good idea.
That's funny.
Because you love those words.
Those are great words.
They're tremendous words. Preposterous how much you use them both.
That is a great segment.
Why are we just now thinking of that segment?
Yeah, that's funny.
Last show.
Yeah.
Well, they want us to say what would Ben say, but I think we should do that, and then like whenever Ben rejoins us on the show, we should run through them all and see if we were right.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like, okay.
That would be really funny to see, like, who got the most right.
Mm-hmm. It's like a pick 'em, but for Ben's opinions.
Yeah.
I like it.
Hilarious.
It's another pick 'em for Christian to lose.
Tremendous or preposterous take?
Next question. That's preposterous.
Well, I don't know. I thought it'd be fun to maybe think of some things that Ben would call tremendous or preposterous. Can you think of one?
That would be funny.
I don't know.
I almost feel like you guys know me too well that it would be hard to come up with ones that really stump you. Because it wouldn't be fun if you guys all had the same answer, you know?
Yeah, true.
10 freestyle weights in the Olympics.
Tremendous.
Of course.
20 Greco weights.
Preposterous.
All right.
Why two out of two.
I tried.
Big, small.
I tried to grow the sport. Didn't work.
In honor of Ben, can we get a top 10 scramblers of all time? Doesn't have to be only.
You know what? People ask me this. You know what? Maybe this will be my first non-flow video because people ask me this so many times and they ask it on the show and then I don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other thing that's very tricky about this question is when people think about this, they gravitate towards the people who do it the most. And I don't agree with that
ability
sentiment.
Not to have to get into those.
And if you win them quickly, then it doesn't seem like you're doing it as much, but you just win them quickly, you know?
You're just dominating them.
You're not in these extended, prolonged things where they last a minute and a half because you already won. So that one is like, you know, most people, I think of the wrong people, I would say. I mean, just off the top of my head, you know, my favorite creative in the last you know, probably since me, I would say, I think Nolf is the most creative since me. He's amazing with the things he does.
Yeah.
My favorite freestyle scrambler is Chamizo.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
He's got
maybe I'll sit down and do some work on that and make a list and put it out there, because that is that's something that gets asked a lot, and I do think people are a little misguided on it.
Yeah, just that perspective alone. Yeah, because you end up ascribing it to the most reliant.
Yes.
Ones that are most reliant, right, and not the most proficient.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Do you watch the Olympic trials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Jaden Cox wrestle Christian Carroll?
I don't think I saw that match.
It was a 1-1 both passivity points match.
I did not see that match.
Someone wanted
to. You get the gist of it right there, though.
Yes. He didn't do anything.
Someone wanted to get a John Smith impression of the Cox versus Carroll match at Olympic Trials from Ben before he goes.
Why wasn't John Smith on the call on that one?
I don't know.
Oh, man. I don't want to do that to Jaden.
All right. Okay, yeah.
Fair enough. Love Jaden, and he was ready to retire. So.
Yeah.
We're not going to blame him for scoring.
Well, he didn't lose that match. He won
Will.
That match.
Well, because he lost to
Colin.
Colin Moore.
Colin, yes. Yeah, he lost Colin.
Which, if you want to listen to him talk, he just did Bader Show.
Colin? Oh, no, Jaden.
Jaden.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's a question in there about, I get asked all the time, is Ben Askren going to get into coaching? Are you going to get into college coaching?
That's what I do.
Sorry. College coaching, Division One.
Yeah. I think it's unlikely.
Unlikely?
Yeah. I never say never on things, because...
What if Brian Smith called you?
He's called me.
What if he texted you?
he's done that also. No, I mean, I strongly considered, it was 2018 or 19, whenever, yeah. A while ago, going back to Missouri. But Brian asked me multiple times, and obviously part of me would say I would love that. I think Coach Smith's amazing. I love Mizzou. Obviously, I have a lot of guys there now. So there's obviously, like... You know, if you said, gun your head, Ben, you got to go down there and you got to coach, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, I hate my life. It's like, I'm sure I'm going to love it, right? But I've also, whichever time they ask me, I've made the decision not to for other reasons. And life's good with opportunity, and I've got a lot of opportunities. And so I don't want to say impossible. You know, honestly, I was thinking something like maybe after my kids, my own kids get out of school or something, you know, I'll be like close to 50, I think.
Yeah.
But it's like.
At that point,
I still got a lot of good years left. I understand the sport. I think I have a business mind, whereas now some coaches are really going to get mad at me.
Bluff King.
I was just complaining to Max the other day about, like, and it could be a myriad of different things. It could be they don't have the technical expertise or they don't try, right? There's a lot of coaches where I'm like, do you not know or are you not trying? Okay, like with the technical aspect, yeah. They're just like 30-minute warm up, go live, like that's it. I don't know how they expect anyone to get better under that format.
It works.
Or they're bad communicators, right? They don't text, relate to people, bad organizationally. Like, you know, there's all these things. It's like, Max, how many college coaches do we have that were like, this guy checks all of the boxes on things that we want for our athletes, and the number wasn't very big. It was kind of small, unfortunately. You know, so it's like. I think there's a lot of good, and this is again where it's like, people aren't giving me, I think there's a lot of really good people, but it doesn't matter if you're, I mean, obviously being a good person is great, right? But there's a job, and the job has a certain set of skills that you need to be elite at in order to do it really well. And if you're lacking some of the skills, you're not gonna be as good at it, but it's also gonna be a negative experience for some or a lot of the athletes.
Yeah.
So, that's what we were kind of, Max and I were just kind of going back and forth on that.
Well, that's why it'd be so exciting to have you in the sport.
Yeah.
In that way, right?
And yeah.
What kind of, because currently, as you coach high school, it's sort of, you see the guys a lot, but it's a little more limited than it would be if you were coaching every single day these guys, almost year round.
So the best guy, you know, the best guys in my room I'm seeing 4 or 5 days a week, and then they're probably going 1 or 2 other places. Which are teaching the relatively the same system that we are, right? On the same page. So they're getting plenty of work in. And then, you know, part of my other, a big part of my philosophical approach and our philosophical approach is if you get kids to really love it and want to do it, they're going to do the things necessary to be as successful as possible. So they're putting in that time on their own, right? They're doing the extra, you know, after practice and practice, we do 90-minute practice when it's over. A lot of the kids stay after. We don't tell them what to do.
Yeah.
It's on their own. They're taking the initiative to do things themselves. So, Yeah, I mean, yes, obviously I think if I was able to coach a whole bunch of college-age males, I would be able to help them achieve at a high level. But I think our interactions with them, maybe I don't get as many per week, but I also have a longer period, right? So, you know, like mm-hmm. Kellen Wolbert, I had that dude when he was 5 years old. I mean, like, since he's a baby, you know? Mitchell Messenbrink was, you know, I think I moved back when he was 6 or 7, right? So, yeah, a lot of these dudes we have for, like, a really, really long time window.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. I mean, we're seeing it kind of around the country, but with AWA, these guys aren't just, like, college ready. They're college elite when they're getting
yes, 100%
to university. So it's very obvious you'd be able to develop guys
yeah.
to another level collegial. I think I'd love to see it at any school, really. I think it'd be a good shakeup for the sport for yeah. sure. So let's hope we see it.
Yeah. But,
yeah, and I'll say the same with David Taylor or Jordan Burroughs or someone just to come in and shake it up a little bit would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Did we want to? Tyler, why don't you continue us on this path? We have 13 minutes.
13 minutes left. There's a lot of messages in here, Ben, about just how much.
Make him cry. Make him cry.
I don't think I'm going to cry today. Never know, though.
There's a lot of people just writing about how, like, they really appreciate how you've used your platform to advocate for healthier coaching, mm-hmm. better youth coaching.
That's not going to stop. So, with the P&L, most of the elite coaches feel very similar to me. Like, maybe not exactly, but we're all in the same neighborhood. And so, you know, hopefully that's something we can build and we can use that to advocate for healthier coaching, for sure.
People also really appreciate the fact that you're a foil to Christian. There's a lot of Christian, there's a lot of Christian hate that. In there. But no, they said that you've been a great foil to Christian. People are really going to miss your technical insight. Mm-hmm.
When are you going to become?
That's
where,
no,
foil?
I'm going to take on. I'm going to take on the technique.
I've been trying to fill you. I've been studying you. I've been trying to figure out how I can.
You know, one thing that's really funny that I do sometimes is. So usually it starts out by accident. I'm just excited. I keep interrupting him, but then I notice he's getting pissed.
He gets mad.
Then I just keep going. Just like mm-hmm. like I purposely do it just to see how mad I get.
Like the problem is
like my brothers.
I try not to interrupt Christian, but he is really good. He does these videos where he'll just talk for 20 minutes
very long
by himself. He's really good at talking for too long. So sometimes you got to interrupt the guy.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, and I noticed then he does this. I'm doing better, like, all right, I'm not going to show it, because then it's like,
it's tougher.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to let him see.
It's like teasing. You make the joke about yourself, it's over. Yep. You let it get to you.
Ben smells blood in the water.
That's like Cole Marisol. I got to him so good that.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. Because
that's what?
Yeah, that's all he has. Yeah. The 97 was the smallest bracket, and mm-hmm. he had a bye at around 16. So he didn't wrestle like the whole first session. So I kept saying, well, yeah, because you don't like tough wrestling. You keep entering these easy brackets. Like, He kept getting upset at me, so I just kept poking.
Just like you poked and prodded Mitchell back in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and the other thing, I think I mentioned it on the show, is Ben's other favorite thing is the moment he's told that the mics are hot, which means be quiet, he immediately starts talking more. And he won't stop. And then he's just got a little oppositional, just enough to be
disagreeable.
Yeah, disagreeable, oppositional. Which maybe that's your spin zone, that you're just disagreeable. But
no, I think that's actual like psychological characteristic.
It's not a bad thing. I have a little bit of that as well. yeah. And Josh Skernick says it's because he hates me.
Josh, I love Josh Skernick. He made me laugh so much. Josh Skernick. So our producer was a college teammate, I think for, I don't know if it was 1 year, and then maybe I was a coach for 2 years, or I don't know exactly where we fell. We were on the same team for at least 1 year. He is hilarious. He was a guy we would kind of like poke at and instigate a little bit, and we'd get him all riled up. Yeah, he was funny.
And the legacy lives on.
I remember, I was almost going to tell a story, and then I decided, I'll tell you off air.
As long as I get
it. It's so funny. I don't know if my wife would be mad at me for telling you.
Oh, no.
I was in college.
Amy did say.
I never met Amy before this point.
Okay.
Amy did say that innate gifts equal talent. He just admitted it exists. Give me a mic. So she said you
don't get a microphone.
Amy actually. We waited to this time. She actually is going to be the new co-host of FRL. She's going to be...
The setup's already at your house.
We already have the setup. The synergy's there. We feel like she has just as much technical knowledge.
Yeah.
And she agrees on the talent.
She would forget about what time the show is, like twice a month. Like, where's Amy?
Well, actually, good plug there. We are changing the time of this show.
To what?
10 a.m. Central. We're backing it up.
If you would have done that, I would have stayed.
All right.
All right. It's not Ben's last
show. Actually, I thought we were doing it earlier because I thought that worked better for you.
No, you guys remember you started at 8 a.m. and I said my kids are out of the house at 8:10.
Yeah.
I think we were at 8:15 for a while and then we moved back to 8:30 maybe.
We gave you 5 minutes to walk up your driveway.
No, it's so, yeah, I mean, well, just I usually get them out of the house and then Amy takes them down the driveway. Yeah. But like to be able to
help
get the kids ready and get them out was beneficial.
Well, that means we're more likely to have you on as a guest more often because you'll be awake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wake up. I just, you know what is the hardest part? And I'm going to sound like a whiner, but I feel like, especially on Sundays, I'm almost always busy on Sunday, whether it's like a couple practices in private or tournaments, whatever. And then obviously on Saturday, I try to like spend time with my family. And then usually, so things build up and people need something from me. And then, you know, Monday morning, I have so many things I need to do. But then I'm like, I always have to come on here, you know. And I love coming on here, obviously. But it's always like, I should be doing some other things. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of your kids, too, there's been a lot of people saying that they're going to miss Aussie Man Strong Boy stories.
Yeah.
I've come in once in a while.
Yeah, we need some of those. What's he doing now?
He goes to kindergarten.
Goes to kindergarten.
hangs out with his friends.
What's he into?
You know, he changes so much. He was a big Pokemon guy for a while.
Yes.
He's kind of out of that phase passed fast. Maybe like 3 or 4.
You need to get him around Bray's youngest, Ellis, because he's a kindergarten. While all he wants to do is play sports. He's a beast. He hits like a home run every game in T-ball.
He is a beast.
Really?
His T-ball team is
let him hit home runs in T-ball?
Yeah, he doesn't stop. He can crush the ball. He's left-handed, and I wrestle around with him. This kid's like a rock.
Nice.
So he's aggressive. So I think him and Ozzy would have...
Small amygdala. We already diagnosed it.
For sure. Small, but a sweet kid. So yeah, but awesome. Apparently Ellis's T-ball team has like slaughtered every other team. But they're supposed to be kind of balanced.
That's how they do in Texas. We're playing 80 games in kindergarten.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I don't think he's played 80 games. But he has like 7 home runs.
Well, it's April. Isn't usually... I feel like baseball or T-ball is a summer sport. At least in Wisconsin it is. They play
here, the kids just die.
Mid-80s.
It's like today. You have to play in April.
Oh, so they don't play in the summer?
Well, they do like All-Stars and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So you can't. So that's Baseball Radio Live and T-Ball Radio Live.
T-Ball
Radio. But yeah, Ellis and Aussie Man Strong Boy, they would be buds.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're at the last 5 minutes of the show.
Oh, wow.
All right. Christian specifically wrote in, he wants to talk about you, Ben. He wants to do a monologue.
I don't, and it doesn't have to be, not a monologue. I just kind of organized the show how I wanted to do it. And man, it has been so awesome, and I've been sort of dreading this day for a little bit. And as it's gotten closer, I've gotten a little sadder. And people have asked, and everyone's asking, you know, everywhere I go, they're like, "Are you sad?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sad." Stop. Everyone's asking me about it. It just reminds me of the sad, and it does stink. But I know one, it's you know, Ben's going to be around. He's not going anywhere. He's not dead.
I'm not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. But you know, from the time we had an opening on the show, I knew I wanted to have Ben on, and I knew it would be awesome, and it was incredible to have him on, and I knew he would bring so much to the table, and I mean what I say about that his contributions, you know, to the sport and the show would not just be technical and would not just be entertaining, but it would have a really positive impact on the sport, and that was maybe something I didn't realize coming in is just what a needed message that Ben really brings. And for all the mischief and the funny antics that Ben brings into it, the best contribution is the message he brings to the sport and the wisdom, really. He's not an old man, but I would consider him wise in terms of leadership and developing athletes, not just technically, but as people. And I consider it flattering and a real honor that Ben would choose to do a show with me for all these years. And it's an extreme compliment. So very thankful that Ben's been on 600 and some shows, and it'll be on some more for sure. But the second most shows of anyone on the show. And so, yeah, just definitely very thankful that we've had this time, and glad we could have this final show in person together for sure.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Ben.
You got it.
Ben, what's your absolute most favorite memory of this show?
Absolute most favorite memory. I mean, the Pearl's Day thing is so legendary that we had to have it. I mean,
certainly memorable.
It's a memory.
Yeah. I mean, the Corona stuff was wild because we had to make up. I don't know. We had to make up stuff for like four or 5 months. It was a long time.
We talked about The Last Dance at length, the Michael Jordan documentary.
Yeah, we just had to make it up. I mean, it was wild, right? That was such a crazy time. And it's funny, you know, that we're podcasting live because, I mean, I don't think we took any shows off or very few. Like, you know.
No.
Like, and, you know, like, we were one of the only things still happening is the world freaking stopped.
You guys are doing three times a week.
Yeah.
We went three times a week at that point in time, yeah.
Nothing else?
So, I don't know. I don't, honestly, when you said my memories, like, it kind of I liked the conference shows, which I guess weren't technically FRLs. And then, I did enjoy it when you guys had the cards, and I know I helped out with a bunch of those. And that was a lot of fun. I kind of like, I think at heart, I'm kind of a builder. Like, and that was kind of why I think I went to Mizzou. I like the non-established, and I like to try to build and help and that stuff. So we've done with AWA. And so, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work out. But, like, I feel like I've made, like, three different attempts at a wrestling pro league between Egg On in the beginning, then FPL, and then, you know, I don't even know if that was like an official like try, you know, when I wasn't really intimately involved, but I was trying to help out.
Yeah.
So that kind of, those shows were kind of really cool, especially because at that point in time, nothing else was going on, and we were just making it happen. So I would say probably, you know, maybe not FRL, but those were awesome.
Why do you think FRL is important? Why did you sign up to be here?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I really enjoyed Rudis and talking to Matt Dernlund, but it wasn't his only job. And that made it tough to do everything and talk as much as we wanted about things because it was limited. So I think this gave me a huge platform to talk about wrestling the way I wanted to. I wanted to influence the discussion that way. And then just that, you know, everyone here, all you guys do is wrestling media. And so, you know, honestly, sometimes I'm the one that's uninformed because I was busy all Sunday with coaching or whatever, and I didn't get to see every little clip that happened or something. So sometimes I'm the one that's uninformed, but like that's all we do is just talk about wrestling, and we're super, super well informed. And I think that's what's so fun about it.
Cool, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
should we call it?
It's signing
off. Wait, do we have to do it? Hold on. I think we have to do another State and Liberty read or something.
Oh.
Or at least a mention.
Okay.
Another mention. State and Liberty. And thankfulness for... We're not going to end on a State and Liberty read. We have to say, think of something profound and touching to end the show on. But,
all right.
But
I'll try to think of something in the next minute.
Please, listen. These guys look good. If you want them to have clothes that fit, they only sent one box for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Two shirts. So if you want to see them continue to dress nice, we need you to go to State and Liberty, buy some clothes. I was trying to make a point that you're going to invite all these weddings, all these graduations. You may as well look nice.
Mm-hmm.
Get a new suit. That suit that was cool.
This is genuinely so comfortable.
It really actually is.
It's probably the most comfortable polo I've ever worn. It's like it feels like jersey material.
I've never been closer to doing a back handspring than I am in this moment in this shirt. That's how comfortable it is.
Word.
So look good at the wedding. Look good at the graduation.
Oh, but the more important thing is you don't want to forget to get 10% off by using code Flow Wrestling. And the only way they know that we sent you there is if you use our code. So
yeah.
So don't be a good guy. Think, oh, no, I want to pay full price for this thing because I like the State and Liberty guys. We do, too. But you like us as well. So make sure we're getting credit for that.
Yeah, and we're happy to give you that 10% discount.
Yes.
All right, I thought of something profound if you guys
want to hear it. And in that, go to Ben.
Well, I was thinking, you know, we talk about the way I've been able to influence discussion. And now I said, you know, Tyler, you brought up episode 1000, but I said I wanted to have proof of concept. And this is what I did with my own wrestling skills. I thought wrestling could be done a little differently, a way that would maybe lead us to more success in a different manner. And I freaking love wrestling. I love it so much. This is what I do all the freaking time. And I want to see it grow, and I want to see it continue to impact and affect the lives of young people. And, you know, people ask me how big I'm going to grow AWA, and I said, I don't know, but if I can continue to have the opportunity to put good coaches in front of kids and change lives, I'm going to continue to do it. And so hopefully now that we have proof of concept and we showed you that the way we do it at AWA is the way it can be done, not only to encourage as many kids as possible to participate, but to also take kids to the highest level, that's going to influence more people to choose to do it. And it's going to impact the sport of wrestling by increasing participation, because kids want to stay there because they love the sport, because it's great and it teaches them great life lessons.
Amen. With that, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and a special thank you to Ben Askren. Round of applause. Yeah. Please send your nice messages to Ben. We're so thankful to have had him for these years now. And,
4.5 almost.
We'll see you next time. Thank you, Ben. Thanks for tuning in. See you Thursday, 10 a.m. Central.
10 a.m. You guys changed the time.
I didn't even get to talk about that. But
I would have loved that bit.